This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers. Folks, this is the place to be in the Mid-Willamette Valley if you want to listen to local talk about local issues, ideas, institutions, and individuals. This is the place. I'm Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. It's nice to be in the studio with you, Dave. You've been going out on location a lot. You've been going on remotes.
Well, you know, I like getting out there in the sunshine and meeting and rubbing elbows with the folks.
And I'm not here on Wednesdays, so time in the studio with Dave, it's just it's more limited.
It's quality time.
Hey, folks, we have another great Newsmakers for you today. So welcome, and it's a fabulous day to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley, and we have the City of Salem Mayor here. Usually he's here on Tuesdays, but the mayor and I actually attended something on Tuesdays. He had a conflict, and so we asked him to come back on Thursday.
Nice.
Yeah.
So welcome, Chuck.
Thank you.
Chuck Bennett, Mayor of Salem. I've seen him speak twice in the last week.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
so I'm trying to stay up on the issues here. And of course,
just your lucky week, man.
Yes, I know. It's just always so riveting.
Yeah.
And we want the Newsmaker listener to make sure that they're up to speed on everything that's going on in the city. So the good news for the city is that Brad Nanke's not leaving to be a state representative.
True.
Right?
Yeah,
so he's such a great value to the city. And that's bad news for Brad, who wanted to be a state representative and put himself up to get an appointment and was not selected by the commissioners. So as long as he doesn't get disgruntled and leave the city, that's a win for the city.
Well, I don't think he will. He is our longest serving city councilor. He may be the longest serving councilor in history. And tremendous amount of knowledge and expertise in both city affairs as well as kind of the management of the city council. He's a really outstanding guy. I'm hoping he'll run for re-election, but I'm not sure how far along we are on that discussion.
That is a long time to serve evenings, and
we're talking 17 years. I don't know. It's tremendous amount
without
of time.
Pay.
Yeah,
right.
Without pay.
Yeah, no, he's a tremendous guy. Plus, he's been president of the League of Oregon Cities and served on their board for a number of years. He's really an outstanding guy, and certainly Raquel Moore Green, the woman who was appointed, is just an outstanding civic leader as well. She's has a consulting business. She's worked at the legislature. She's been on the city budget committee, chaired the city budget committee. We certainly have enjoyed working with Raquel. Look forward to working with her at the legislature. She'll be an outstanding member.
Well, the important thing for Republicans is that
good people
come election time, we hold the seat.
Right.
Republicans hold the seat. All right. Hey, let's talk about a couple of things.
Okay.
We were talking before the show, and this is great things for people to be aware of, having to do with our water supply and quality and such. You said we're built new wells.
Exactly. We approved Monday night some capital expenditures in the water system, and I was particularly interested in seeing two wells being sunk out at Garen Island, offering about 20 million gallons a day.
That's out by Staten, folks, if you haven't been there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, out in the North Sandyam River. But this is not surface water. This is groundwater, which means it will augment the water we already have available coming down the river. This water is different. It doesn't get algae blooms. Anything else in it. It's water coming out of wells, and each of the wells is about $7 or $8 million. The funding for this is really coming through the state of Oregon helped us, $20 million allocation from the state for our water system. We'll be using a chunk of it to do these two wells, and these are really a major addition to both quantity and quality of our water.
So the taxpayers can remember that, Nick, when they're see all the new taxes coming out of the legislature, but at least $20 million came to the city.
Portland bought you a couple of wells. it's really a tremendous thing. We also are adding, in working with the U.S. Geological Survey, we're adding some testing equipment below Big Cliff Dam up at Niagara. If folks are familiar with the some of the sites along the North Sandy Am River, Niagara is below Big Cliff Dam, which is one of the two dams up by the reservoir, up by Detroit. And what it'll give us is a real-time look at the river running. I mean, actually, what exactly is going on in the water quality? It's a water quality station. So we're really upping our game quite a bit after last year's problem with the water and what appears to be a potential ongoing set of issues with algae blooms and then potential cyanotoxins. Plus, that's a very busy highway along that river up there, and we are concerned about any spills into the river. And we've had a couple happen over the years. Nothing spectacular yet, but a lot of traffic up there, and we're keeping close track on it. So we're also going to be adding other water treatment augmentations. Right. And those will be going on over the next few years.
So we actually did have something spectacular happen. It's been close to 20 years ago now. I don't know how, but it was years ago.
The diesel truck.
There was a fuel truck.
Yeah.
It turned over, and all 11,000 gallons spilled into the ravine, into the ditch, and disappeared.
I remember that.
They tried to clean it up, and they never found it.
Yeah.
It didn't. They thought it would show up, and you'd see it show up on the surface of Detroit Lake. And anyway, it just went into the earth and didn't come back. So maybe if we do this, maybe we'll find it in the wells later.
We're far enough away. Those wells are.
Wow.
You'd be surprised at how much Mother Nature can actually clean itself.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was real pleased with that. That's the kind of public works activity, one of the many public works programs that go on in this city. And this is the kind, I think, that indicates, if folks are even wondering at all, the city is taking very, very seriously both water quality and quantity. It's something we have to stay on top of.
It's nice to know that they're building infrastructure for at least one of the basic tenets of
right. Do you feel, Mayor, that the algae bloom last year kind of upped the timetable of these wells and water monitoring system?
Yeah, I think they did. We do a lot of water monitoring. Actually, Salem was ahead of most communities. We actually had our own systems.
How we caught the algae bloom.
Yeah, the question I think last year was whether notification came as quickly as it should. It happened over a holiday weekend. It created some issues in terms of notification, I think it has played a role in it. I really do. The other thing we're working on, I'd mentioned during the State of the City, was as a result of this, was I thought the need to kind of compile the various resiliency plans and develop a really comprehensive look at how the community, both regionally, the city, and then all the way down to neighborhoods and individuals, respond. We're calling it a resiliency plan.
And we're going to talk about that right after the break.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know we have to be prepared for emergencies. So the mayor's going to talk about our plan here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. I'm Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. In the studio with us is the mayor of Salem, Chuck Bennett.
The man.
Just
myth,
before the break,
the legend.
We were going We're carrying forward. Starting to talk about the mayor's initiative for preparedness, and that is disaster preparedness, right?
Yes.
So is this one of those things that hasn't been a city role, like we were talking about working with the homeless in the past? We kind of left that to the state, to the feds, to FEMA, and to the county. They have an emergency preparedness as well.
Well, it actually, the city's been involved in this for quite a while. You remember we have our emergency preparedness group, CERT.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And our community emergency response teams.
You got that right.
And those have been in place for a number of years. We actually have CERT caches spotted around the city, which have emergency supplies in sort of large, I don't know what you call them, storage pods, often in a parking lot somewhere. And then there are members of the community have been trained in use of those and providing emergency services. But what we found with the water situation last year was most people have not heard the message that you really ought to have a week or two of water and a week or two of food, because in the case of a major emergency, the Cascadia events, a substantial conflagration, really substantial flooding.
Volcanic eruption.
Yeah, volcanic eruption.
That's a possibility.
You are gonna shelter in place. You're going to be pretty much responsible for yourself. None of the government entities are prepared for the level of service on an immediate basis that would meet anyone's daily needs for any substantial period of time. Now we're working on large shelters, making sure there are large amounts of water available that you can go get, things like that. But if it's a big one, moving around is going to be extremely difficult. So the expectation is people will be taking care of themselves for a period of time. And so we are going to be working over the next year. We have a whole bunch of plans. We know where the emergency services are, where emergency services should be. We know the kinds of things that should be done, kind of the both logistically and kind of strategically how to deal with it. But those are plans that are kind of all over the place, and we'll be pulling those together as well as working with state and county emergency leaders to make sure that Salem has a really full-blown plan in place that if you and I want to take a look at it, we can. Right now, you'd have to know who to call to get a look at it.
Oh, wow.
This pulls it all together in one place. We have a young man, Greg Walsh, who has a degree in emergency preparedness, who is leading that effort and has a really outstanding young man, ex-military, I think, and really knows what he's doing. And he's working with me and with the community. I'm pulling all of this together. So the objective over the next several months will be to get the word out in Salem, kind of what do you do to get ready? What's your checklist look like? What should you have in your house ready to go if anything happens? And we're relying heavily on the fire department. They've had a really successful CPR mm-hmm. program sure. in the schools and have trained 20,000 Salem students on how to do life-saving procedures if you have a heart attack.
20,000.
Yeah, at least.
Over a period of years, imagine.
Over just a few years.
Wow.
I mean, we're not talking a long time. It's very, I think I mentioned to you, if you're going to have a heart attack, have it at a middle school in Salem right now, because it is probably the one place somebody knows exactly what to do. Plus, they have engaged the community. They have an app that allows you to know if you're needed in an emergency, if you have the training, kind of where there's an emergency, there's a notification, where to go. It's a real interesting program, but it has really penetrated the community, so they'll be handling our public outreach. The fire department does a heck of a job on this. They have done they kind of know what they're doing. So we're going to be working on that, and we're pulling together a resiliency task force, we're calling. It's essentially pulling together all of the folks who represent the technical and strategic resources in the community to begin making sure we've laid out a community checklist.
So when you mean community, you mean multi-jurisdictional?
Yeah, it'll be multi-jurisdictional. It'll be Polk and Marion County, as we include Salem specifically, but also when you add Marion County, we'll be looking at our outlying communities as well. But primarily, we're focused on Salem.
So we could be... Hopefully, there's an effort there that we don't end up duplicating any services.
No. In fact, that's how we're setting it up.
And this is how we communicate with Marion County's piece, and this is Polk County's piece.
No, that's exactly what we're making sure doesn't happen, or that there's confusion because why have multiple resources if you don't need them? If you have a National Guard with water trucks, why have other kinds of duplicated services, or do we need more water trucks? You know, should we have a couple more? And that's, do we need five, not three? Or, you know, it's that kind of thing. What does our plan look like in terms of shared services?
You mentioned during the break, we're talking to Mayor Chuck Bender of the City of Salem, and you'd mentioned during the break about preparing, trying to get 50,000 people to say, hey, I'm done, I'm prepared.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
And those are 50,000 people. That's a little less than a third of the population of Salem.
Yeah.
Well, probably more than that when you if you're just talking adults.
Yeah.
And those households will not need, you know, those emergency services, and they can focus their efforts on, well, people who aren't prepared, but people who are the most needy, people with illness issues, injury issues, mobility issues, and things like that.
Yeah, it's a really a much more rational allocation of resources if you're using your emergency resources for people who have a real difficulty responding to emergencies. I shouldn't have a problem. And in fact, when the water hit, we had I'd been reading all this stuff and learning about this over the past couple of years, and I assumed everyone else was doing the same thing. So we had a couple of weeks of water, we had backup food, we were all set, and are today.
That's terrific.
Yeah, well,
we've had
my wife is real good at this. Mrs. Bennett is a real prepper.
And Mrs. is she now? Oh, good. Mrs. DeHart says that I worry too much.
You do.
But I think you can. It's easy, folks. You know, you can buy these entire kits online. You know, I think I can come in a 50-gallon barrel, and it has all of these things that you're supposed to have. You know, if it's a water purifier and all these emergency
which
things.
Which are very helpful, too.
Yeah.
You can also put it together.
You can put it together
all
in pieces.
All you need is a nice big box, you know, if you're doing it right. And it is fun. It is interesting. To make sure. And there's a certain peace of mind when you know, that if it does hit today, we're ready.
Yeah, I have a tote.
You have a tote?
But I don't know where it's at.
A go bag?
Yeah, it's a go tote.
Go tote, okay.
Sandy put it together, and it's got all our emergency stuff in it except for the water. But she put it on a shelf somewhere in the storage room, so I don't know where it's at.
I do not like
it. Well, see, that'll be probably the first thing we'll be suggesting to people. If you've done this, make sure you know where the thing is.
Where it's at. Yeah. Yeah.
And the house won't fall down on it.
Right.
But I'm real excited about this. I think it's the kind of thing we can do. It doesn't cost an arm and a leg to do this kind of work. It really is just making sure everybody's talking to everybody and that we're sharing the information as commonly as we can in the community.
And always have a little go kit in your car.
Oh, yeah.
In your car too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's far
always.
More likely.
Yeah.
Particularly in winter. I know we always travel with some extra sweater, a blanket, stuff like that.
Food, water, all
water.
Of that.
Yeah.
It's very likely that you'll be somewhere and you cannot be with your loved ones immediately.
That's true.
The transportation, folks, you know, think about that. And I'm not a huge... But I don't like it when the government tries to scare you about things.
No.
I do believe in the Cascadia event. I believe that if it does not come in our lifetime, in my lifetime, it's going to come in my kids' lifetime.
Sure.
I 100% believe it, and we should be ready. It's our obligation.
All the time.
So you think about it, folks. The roads and bridges, a lot of them will be impassable. So how do you get across the river if your loved ones are in West Salem? right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying everybody have a kayak in the back of the car, but
you carry on top.
They won't have trucks, as the mayor was saying. Water trucks, they're not going to come down from the National Guard in Portland. It's what we have here in the Mid-Valley is what we have.
Right.
And they won't be able to get everywhere as far as distributing water, as far as getting gasoline to places and things like that.
We'll walk over to Mayor Bennett's house because he's prepared.
Yeah, he's prepared, so everybody show up
and
chucks.
Mrs. Bennett's prepared.
Yeah, see?
I'm
just the guy kind of standing there.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that is a good pitch. If you can get 50,000 people sign up and sign off and say we're good, that's, again, Salem is going to be a model for the nation.
That's a good goal, too.
Yeah, it's a doable goal, or at least the fire department the fire chief tells me it is. I really trust him that he understands exactly what he's stepping into here, because he's done this with these school kids. And I can't tell you how exciting that program he's done. I hope at some point you'll have the chief on. I know you've tried to talk about that CPR program. That really is an amazing program. I don't think people have the knowledge of how really well prepared so much of this community is for me having a heart issue. Mm-hmm. I just think it's remarkable. I'm really
the Salem Police and Salem Fire both
great teams.
And then they up their games with the addition of the foundations for each, providing additional resources they can do even more, and like the new emergency, what do they call that vehicle?
The command center.
The command center. Yeah, nice. You go in there, it's like, oh, we're in a movie or something.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah. It really is neat.
All right. That has been Mayor Chuck Bennett joining us here on Newsmakers. Thanks, Chuck, for being here. And
thank
I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
The segment of Newsmakers brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. We have our Thursday segment you've all been waiting for. Sergeant Mike's here. If you are not new to KYKN, you know Sergeant Mike. And in the studio with Sergeant Mike is his cohort. We have Cowboy Ron.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
I didn't know you as a cohort.
Cohort, yeah.
I guess I am now.
You're a collaborator. There's other words for it, but I'm a collaborator. Yeah.
BSer.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Bob Mueller didn't have any cohorts yesterday.
No.
And he got fried.
Really?
I mean, it was so bad. I felt sorry for this guy.
You did?
Just as a person. He got leveled. And Ron thinks that the impeachment just got flushed. They don't have anything left. They've done everything to this guy, and nothing sticks. Yeah?
Yeah, it's a pretty smooth operation. Looks to me like it's over. Let's stop it. And then one of the reps said, let's go on down and get to business. Let's get to work.
Yeah. And you made a point that the Dems wanted him to really come out and say he colluded with the Russians and on and on and on.
Well, I thought he was absolutely terrific. I've been in a hot seat, and I imagine a few other people that are listening have been. But your best answer is read it.
Yeah, he did.
And he was his posturing for that day was read it.
Yeah. It was kind of like the Fifth Amendment, except that he had the information. He said, if you want to make a decision, here's what I wrote and what I found.
Well, anything that he would have commented about would have been turned around. So I think he did a terrific job of saying, I don't know. He could have said he's going to stand on the Fifth Amendment. I've done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I thought he was absolutely terrific. And the great thing is there's an ending to it. Now, let's get on to it and get to work.
Yeah. I don't think he wants any more of that stuff. And you made a comment in your business. You had a man and woman that came into your business one day, and you were talking about this and that. and she was from Russia.
Yeah, he was a Russian language professor. They live in the United States now, and she'd been here living in the United States for 20 years. And she came in very quietly in the store. I offered her some coffee, water. And so pretty soon, her husband bought an AR, first-time purchasers of an AR. They thought they'd get one for home defense because of all the scuttlebutt.
What is your store? What's the name of your store?
Oh, can I plug that? Gun
sure.
Crafter, Salem, Oregon.
And it's located on the corner of
13th and Hoyt.
13th and Hoyt.
Been there for 20 years.
And you sell a lot of guns and all kinds of things and great advice.
Yeah, we have the best service in the world. When you buy something from us, we back it up, truly. But let's get back to this young Russian lady, because she really took my heart that day. She the first thing that came out of her was that she looks at me and I introduce myself. She says, "Your boy Trump, a good man." And she says this in a Russian accent, and I said, "Really?" And I said, "Well, tell me about Putin." She said, "Your boy Trump, President Trump, and Putin have nothing. They haven't colluded. They haven't talked. Putin is afraid of Trump, and Putin absolutely is a murderer. Controls with fear, and if you get into his space or into his face, you're done away with." He says he's a gangster, a crook. He's a terrible man. Your boy Trump, perfect man, running the United States perfectly. Look at your economy. Then she went on and told me about when she came over as a little girl or as a younger lady. But I was really impressed with her. But she says, Trump, Putin, no collusion.
That's it.
No collusion.
She was,
and now it looks like we got it buried. I mean, it's going to be gone, and now we're going to go on to bigger and better things.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and it's real quite simple, gentlemen.
It's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Cowboy Ron. A friend of mine, when Trump got elected, it was a Facebook post about, we've got a president who's a tool of the Russians and blah, 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 Putin's tool and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, all right, people, I don't know if you like Trump, you don't like Trump, but what do you see in his personality that you think that he is going to be second banana to some foreign leader like Putin? And I'm like, you really think that Donald Trump is going to be a pawn for Putin? What are you thinking?
All you see from the Russian party and Putin is you see him posturing, and it's just like the North Korean dictator. He steps up there and makes some waves, and the boys from Iran are making waves. And Putin, I better make some too. But all in all, it's the United States of America.
I'm telling you, Trump didn't get where he is by accident. In business, in television, in politics, he came out of nowhere and said, I'm going to run for president, and won. And then he's telling China, no more of that. He's telling Russia or Iran, no more of that.
Mexico.
Okay.
Stop. Look what they're going to take care of those people coming up on the border.
They are now not letting people into their southern border.
Oh, amen.
So because Trump said, you better stop this crap. You're the path. You're the highway right into the United States.
Well, if I was the president of Mexico, I'd stop him.
I'd say yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Trump.
Yes, what I would say, and I would be right to do that, because you know.
I got a question for you, gentlemen.
Sure.
Since you're bringing up immigration, is one of the things we don't talk about on Newsmakers.
you can.
But since you brought it up,
yeah.
Oh, good.
So even my son, who's in his early 20s, he said, well, Mexico, when all the talk was about the caravan, right?
Yeah.
And Mexico had offered asylum to a good number of people, and they said, no, we're going to America. At the point that you reach America, they should no longer be eligible for asylum, because they were already offered asylum in the country they are in. Mexico offered it to them.
Sure.
So why shouldn't we? That's a huge disconnect you never hear about in the press, what do you think?
Yeah, well,
are they really qualify as asylum seekers and have to be in America when Mexico has welcomed them and offered them asylum already?
That's Mexico's problem.
Well, yeah. It's our problem.
I don't think they're eligible personally, because they just wanted to be away from something and get into anything better, and they tried to, and they got no, you can't. But your point is that Trump, at a point, just said, okay, Mexico, turn the spigot off. We're going to come down on you.
Well, that spigot has to be turned off.
Yeah.
Because if you see the depredation and the amount of dollars that's costing us, my God, people, open your eyes. And to have a sanctuary city or a state, you got to be kidding.
Oh, and people in Portland saying, we're not going to, or in different parts of the state, we're not going to work with ICE on any of this.
No. And we have the low-cost housing issues and the street people, the homeless people, and a lot of those are coming over the border. So, you know, we've got such a situation we have to clean up here quickly.
You know, a lot of people that are on the streets, their mind is gone. These aren't normal. And there needs to be some assistance in some cases. But to have people that are just pouring over into Los Angeles, for example, L.A. has a fourth of the country's homeless people, a fourth. And they're going there and they get medical care, they get money, they do all kinds of things with just showing up. And we are paying for it. You are, I am.
A fourth of the pump. It seems like everywhere you go, there's homeless. You know, it was in Hawaii about 18 months ago, and of course, the weather's great there.
Yeah.
I was joking, and Hawaii, if you're listening, don't take this personally, but, you know, one of the solutions for our homeless is we give them one-way tickets to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And then they're in warm weather, right, and there'll be plenty of rainwater, and they probably will not get a return flight back, but... That is complete facetiousness, folks. Okay, no cards and letters, please.
Yeah, you don't write about that one. But here's what's going to happen: the 31st of October, when we get our first frost, the Red Cross of Salem, Red Cross Oregon, is going to be putting up shelters, and we're going to have to figure out where we're going to put these people.
Yeah.
The mentally ill, that's a real big issue. We've closed our institutions. So the way I feel about this is that we're going to have to open them up again. And these people need to come off the street.
You know, a lot of these guys are veterans. And I'm a Sergeant Mike, a U.S. Air Force veteran. And I care about these guys. But it's not all of them. And these people, there's a percentage of these folks need care, and they've earned it. The rest of them, you know, got to find a job. There's jobs, whatever. We got to quit giving it all to them, and they'll quit asking.
Well, that's really, Sergeant Mike, I think that's perfect, because if you, the situation of people riding skateboards at 21 years of age, whipping through through the city of Salem, these guys can be out doing farm work.
Sure.
And I think that if we give them, have some orientation on the education, maybe some more vocational things to do in our educational system. But we have decided as educators to knock off the shop, the sheet metal, and everything that teaches the youth to work and to use their hands and use their brains. So we've done it to ourselves, and now ourselves have to fix it.
And that's the world according to Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike. Thanks, gentlemen, for sharing your insights with us. We're going to take a break. You come back, we're going to meet somebody new. Meet somebody new here on KYKN. We'll give you a little bit of a surprise. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne. Stick with us on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And in our studios today, we're going to introduce you to somebody new in the highlight them in the community a little bit. Angela Roman. I had to learn how to pronounce that correctly during the break. Angela Roman is running for District 5 of U.S. Congress, right?
Correct.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Nice
Thank
to
you
have
for
you here.
Me.
So tell us a little bit about yourselves, like where do you live? Where are you from?
So I actually live right here in Kaiser.
Okay.
And I've lived here for many, many years. I went to McNary High School. I'm born in Oregon.
Awesome.
Born and bred and raised here.
And you're running as a Republican.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yep. And where are we in the cycle? I mean, you start announcing now and you want to run. And when would the actual election be?
So I've actually been running since March. Mm-hmm. And the primary is coming up in May. My campaign has taken off pretty quickly lately here recently. But a lot of people are noticing because I'm out there speaking to the people and having conversations no matter what side of the aisle they're on. So we're getting a really good response, not only locally, but nationwide.
Good. I mean, it's a big district. You're going to have to do a lot of footwork in, right?
Yes.
All right. So before we get too deep into this, I want to make sure everyone knows you have an event Saturday, speaking of speaking.
I do. It is my first official fundraiser. We will be having a car wash for Congress.
Yes,
sir.
Great.
And we will be having it at the Copper Creek is hosting it for us in the parking lot, which is set between Bentley's and the Copper Creek.
Copper Creek.
Where is that?
Do you know where the Bentley's little hut is for coffee?
I don't drink coffee myself, yeah. So you're going to have to be more specific.
You want people to show road up. It's on.
Okay, so it's right across there from the sub sandwich shop area.
What town are we speaking of?
This is Kaiser, gentlemen.
In Kaiser on River Road. Okay, right?
Now I know where it's at.
Copper Creek Mercantile.
Okay.
Good. I drive by it every day. So.
A lot of people yelling at their car stereos right now.
It's on River Road, people.
Who are these people that don't know where that is? Okay. All right, so people can come by. Will they get to meet you?
Absolutely. I will be there, and I will be washing the car to show the people that I truly am the candidate for the people.
Are you dressed up in red, white, and blue and
Absolutely.
All patriotic and everything? I noticed, folks, you don't know, but she's wearing, like, red, white, and blue boots. Going on.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Cowboy boot action happening here. So
these are my campaign boots. I am boots on the ground. I'm all over.
Nice.
Those boots are not made for walking. They're made for running for Congress.
Yeah, there you go. That's
Absolutely.
Good one.
So what spurred you to want to do this?
I actually got the opportunity to work in the state legislature. I worked for the 79th Legislative Assembly in 2017. And coincidentally, that was right after our wonderful president, Donald Trump, was elected. And Kate Brown started her resist movement. So you could just imagine what it was like inside the Marble Nut House down there. And I was a policy analyst, so I learned how to basically keep an eye on what's going on and what they're trying to push. And I'm a single mom with three young boys I'm trying to raise into men. And it's really, really scary, the agendas that are coming at us.
Oh, indeed. So three young boys. What are their ages?
17, 14, and 8.
And they're in Salem Kaiser schools?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, not the high schooler. I pulled him out. He does online school now, and he got a part-time job.
Oh, a lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are doing SK online. Still that
yeah.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeschooling.
Yes. Well, you know, and we talk about this in Newsmakers sometimes about kind of the popularity and the growth industry that is private schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't like what is being taught or how it's being taught, or they don't like all the distractions that occur in the public schools.
And yeah, see, right? And I don't blame them. And that's what I want to bring to Congress is, you know, I am that single mom that has to multitask and now add to the plate fighting off the far left agenda being thrown at our children. And, you know, I'm pro-life. I believe in God. I believe in protecting our country. The Second Amendment shall not be infringed. Our forefathers worded it that way for a reason. In court, shall not means just that.
Mm-hmm.
No contesting. It is what it is. Kaput. Forget about it. Leave it alone. And we need to sit down and have conversations and get to the solutions already. We both know where everybody stands. So let's sit down and yell at each other and then talk about it and figure out the solution. I'm tough. You can call me up and yell at me and I'll call you back That's what you got to do.
You've already noted before the show she's got a little Italian heritage.
Just a little.
Just a little.
So she's chatty and she's tough, right?
Absolutely.
Need somebody like that in Congress for sure.
Absolutely. And I will be a voice of Oregon. This is my home. This is where my ancestors settled after coming through Ellis Island. This is where I was raised. This is where I'm raising my children. This is where I plan on being buried. I will fight, and I will be a voice for Oregon, period.
Are there other candidates that have declared for the Republican that you anticipate would be competition for next May?
There is another primary candidate, Joey Nations. I believe he ran last election and lost.
Joey Nations?
Yeah.
Okay, and let me ask you this tough question. We're just getting to know you, but you're seeking to unseat a pretty well-entrenched incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a good strategy to get kind of pry that incumbency away from the other party?
You know, my strategy is no strategy, and I'll get heckled from my own party and from everyone else. I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to continue to have conversations and be out there, spread the education, take the brunt. That's what I'm going
to
do.
We're talking to Angela Roman here. She is a candidate for District 5. We got to keep make sure we know. This is District 5 of U.S. Congress. We talk a lot about the state assembly here and whether or not people are running in this district or that. But this is U.S. Congress District 5, currently held by Kurt Schrader. And she's running as a Republican. It's a couple events. And we want to make sure that they have an opportunity, the listener has an opportunity to know about your campaign. Is there a website they can go to learn more about you?
Absolutely. If you want to check out the campaign, you can go to angelaroman.com. We have a website. We have a Twitter. We have Facebook. I recommend people follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I go live a lot. I interact. Like I said, I speak to members of the community. I have people I've never met before that I meet with a couple different people a week just to have a conversation and get coffee. I'm for the people.
So if someone's listening and they've got a community group or a business and you want to come address, they should reach you through your Facebook or through the website?
Through the website, yes. They can find the email address to get a hold of my campaign manager, and we will definitely set that up.
All right. Let's nail down a couple of events. I think this Saturday, definitely. It's only 2 days away. You can have car wash for Congress.
Yes. And the bonus to it, which just I can't stop smiling, I will have the ORP Recall Kate Brown sheets with me. So even if you don't want to get your car washed and you just want to stop by and shake my hand, do that. But you're going to have to sign that sheet if you want to get her out.
That is cool. I love it that it seems like very homey, down home and local. We did a fundraiser for my son for when he had cancer back in the day, and people were coming by that didn't need a car wash, and they were just like way overpay for a car wash just because they wanted to help.
Right.
They want to meet you, Angela, and they want to help. So, and Angela, we were talking, her maiden name is Divine.
Correct.
Right? It's like her name literally means a divine angel, right?
Right.
Angela, I believe, Divine, you know, God has been pushing
Roman.
Me.
That is awesome. She's running for District 5 Congress, and you can meet her this Saturday. What times?
From 1 to 5.
On River Road.
Correct. And right as well as August 31st. Same times.
August 31st as well. And check her out, AngelaRoman.com. This is Brent for Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Tomorrow's Friday, folks.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.